did when she talked about worship, living life on purpose and what we spend our time and our money and our talents. Anything that focuses a major amount of our time is really what we are worshiping. And so we need to be reminded of that. When she talked, even sang the song, This Little Light of Mine, sometimes we do things like that and we get into the habit of it and we don't really think what it is that we're doing. But really, we're talking about evangelism. We're talking about the call that God has on our life for us to be salt and light in this world. And so those are parts of living life on purpose. This morning, we're going to talk about the whole aspect of fellowship. Living life on purpose and fellowship. In his book, The Body, Chuck Colson says this: surveys show that the number one thing people look for in a church is fellowship. But what most Westerners seek is a far cry from what the Bible describes and what the early church practiced. No term in the Christian lexicon is more abused than fellowship. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to look at a number of scriptures, and we're going to do that together as a congregation. Excuse me. Because I've passed out some scriptures for you to read. But we're going to look and see what the Bible says about how we act and interact with each other and what that means for our relationship with God and with one another and for the kingdom as a whole. The word that's most often translated in fellowship from the New Testament is the Greek word koinonia. And it was Paul's favorite term for fellowship. He used that term in 1 Corinthians 1:9 when it says that on the basis of faith we have fellowship with the Son. In 1 Corinthians 9:23 we share in the fellowship of the gospel. And that believers also share together a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:14, which the apostle understood as the most important bond for unity in the life of the church. And so fellowship is something that holds us together and enables us to work and to live and to be the church of Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, just turn to Acts chapter 2. It's a very familiar passage when we talk about the theme of fellowship. It gives us a little mini snapshot of the early church and what it was like. Now, again, we need to remind you that when we go into this, sometimes this passage and other things about the early church are held up as this is exactly the way we should live and this is exactly what we should do. And that's pretty much impossible because we don't live in that time, in that day and age, in that society. But there are principles in there and principles that we're going to look at from the Word of God this morning that will help us to understand what fellowship means. So Acts chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 42. They devoted themselves, and this is the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That far God's word this morning. So we're going to look at three questions this morning. The first question we're going to look at is very simply, what is fellowship? What does it mean to have fellowship? What do you think of when you hear the word fellowship? There's different things that come to different people's minds. Some, it means a warm, affirming kind of place to be, kind of like a hot tub religion where everybody kind of, you know, gets into the hot tub and it's all nice and warm and cozy, but we don't really go anywhere so long as we're staying in the hot tub. It's something to soothe our frayed nerves and provide some relief from the battering of everyday life, but it doesn't really change all that much. Others, it's a social aspect, and that's an end in of itself. It's the one place where they can find some people to interact and to socialize with who think like they think. For some people, it means no more than coming together for church events, coming to have and do something in the fellowship hall. And so it's like this magical place that when everybody walks in there, fellowship takes place. The word in the New Testament, however, means something very different. Koinonia means a communion, which is a much deeper level of interaction. It's a communion. It's a participation of people together in God's grace. A participation of people together in God's grace. You see, there's a foundation and a basis for the fellowship that the Scripture talks about. That's not there in the ordinary everyday world. Because getting together, having meals, social interaction, all of those things can be done by people in any place, anytime, anywhere. And they happen under a whole bunch of circumstances. They happen politically, they happen socially, they happen at work when you have your Christmas parties or other things like that. They can happen in all kinds of places. But the fellowship that the Bible talks about is undergirded, is set on the foundation of God's grace. It's being the reason and the basis for it taking place. It means we have something in common. And so we're going to read a few scriptures here, and I'm just going to ask you to stand and read nice and loudly those who have received these verses. First one, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Who's got that one? Yeah, stand and read nice and loudly.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with one another.
Okay, here's a common humility. It's looking around the room and not thinking, wow, I am really awesome compared to the rest of this group. Or the flip side of it is, I'm nothing compared to the rest of this group. It's a common humility. It's an understanding that under the grace of God, which again we said is the foundation, is available equally and fully to each and every one of us. And we come clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we come on an equal plane, on an equal footing. If we remember the communion passage that we often read of from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul there is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them to smarten up because they're coming together, and the rich, important people, and the poor, not-so-important people, are not getting together. And the rich, important people are kind of taking the best place and keeping the best food for themselves and not really sharing and not having everyone operate on an equal plane. A common humility that's there so that it doesn't matter where we are in life, age, social station, work-wise, wealth, all of those other things that human beings in our society use to measure, we have a commonality, a common humility in there. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts 1, 14. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I miswrote. Okay, there was a commonality of purpose there where they says they constantly joined together in prayer. And so prayer became a very real part of what was going on. If you go back to that passage that we read of Acts chapter 2, prayer is mentioned as a common purpose that's there. Again, this is something now that's based on God's grace, because we can only understand the power of prayer and expect things to happen when we pray, when we understand God's grace. And the understanding that as He forgives, it's not just about forgiving sin, but it's about giving us life and life abundantly, as Jesus talked about. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Okay, common interest, caring for one another. Making sure that when we come, that our great concern is to be sure that someone else has what they need for that day, for that week. And we're going to look at that and practice that a little bit together later on this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Okay. Somebody lost a slip or I missed one. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So there's a commonality of purpose, but a commonality of goals and of works. And the fact that we all do different things still ties us together because all of those different things are meant to have one goal and one purpose. That again is God's grace underlying all of that, and it means that we need to be working in fellowship in one goal, in one purpose. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. So here's a common care. They made sure that they cared for one another in a way that would have shocked the society in which they were living in that day. Now, we see throughout the New Testament passage that not all the churches did this in this way by selling everything they had, but the churches did find a way to make sure that those who needed care were cared for by those who could help in that area. So what it really comes down to when we answer the question, what is fellowship? It's this. Fellowship is a oneness of purpose and cause, a setting aside of personal agendas. It's a focused and common purpose. A oneness of purpose and cause, a setting aside of personal agendas. Those two things are very, very important. And again, they speak about God's grace at work actively in our lives individually and corporately as a church. Because now it becomes a situation where we work together, where it's not about me and my goals, but about what it is that God is saying to us and speaking to us about. It's why we have general meetings and why we go through a process like what we're going through as far as transition goes, where we'll be having conversations that take place not just at the board or the transitional team level, but at the congregational team level to make sure that we're all heading the same way with a common goal and a common purpose. And it's a focused common purpose. It's not just something that's so ethereal that we can kind of be doing anything and it fits into there, but it is a very focused purpose together. If we have fellowship, it's based on the fact that we live and serve Jesus. Two passages from 1 John. First of all, 1 John 1, 1 to 3. Thank you. And 1 John 1, 7.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has the Son. And if the blood of Jesus Christ is God, cleanses us from all sin.
So here we have the reminder, first of all, in those first verses, that there is a common belief that it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his power to forgive our sin, that common belief is what holds us together, is what our fellowship is based on. Again, God's grace. But then in verse 7 it says, it reminds us that we need to be walking in that belief, walking in that light, being sure that that is a part of our life on a daily basis, not just something that happens Sunday morning. It's not just a prayer of confession of sin that happens one time and then life goes on without any real change taking place. But we are called to be together in that way, encouraging one another, building one another up. Now, one of the things that we have to be reminded about is that that's one of the reasons why Paul tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, to be in that position where the life of that unbeliever can now be overtaking the belief that we have. Again, being unequally yoked doesn't mean we never spend time with unbelievers, because obviously Jesus set the example of doing exactly that. He spent a lot of time with those people who were not people of faith, because that's who he died for. That's who he came to share with. But we need to make sure that we're doing that, but that we are also in the situation where that person's belief, that person's way of looking at life isn't influencing us, but that we're influencing him or her instead for Jesus Christ. And so here's a question for you, and we're actually going to be talking about this because this is part of what happened in the survey. The whole area of fellowship was one of the areas that we were looking at in the survey, and we're going to talk about that as a congregation. So I just have a question for you this morning. Do you think that we have a oneness of purpose, of mind, of life, that we have that kind of fellowship here at Mirror Lake Community Alliance Church? And if you do, wonderful. The question then is, how are you participating in it? If you don't think that, the question is, what are you going to do about it to change it and to build it up? You see, fellowship is the responsibility of each and every one of us, because it is that whole area of a commonness of purpose, and that means that we are doing this together. So what's the second question? What is the objective of fellowship? What is the objective of fellowship? The reason we have fellowship is to help each of us grow in Christ. The Living Bible in Ephesians chapter 2:19 says this, "Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." What's the objective of fellowship? It's this. We are called to belong, not just to believe. We are called to belong, not just believe. One of the things that I've seen in surveys that have taken place by Barna and others is that many people identify themselves as Christians by what they believe, but they don't actually belong anywhere as far as another group of believers go. It's the whole idea, well, this is my faith, this is personal, and this is nobody else's business. Well, the objective of fellowship is exactly the opposite of being a Lone Ranger Christian. The objective of fellowship is to get us together to make sure that we belong instead of just believe. Two verses we want to look at. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another, build each other up. That's really hard to do if you're never spending any time with the people who are part of God's family. It's really hard to encourage and to build someone up or to be the recipient of that encouragement and building up if you're not spending any time with them. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, encourage one another daily. Spend time with each other. Be encouraging each other. You know, sometimes we have questions as we're going through life. And we have questions that come sometimes because we're reading this book, or there's an experience of life that we're having, and we're trying to reconcile what we know or what we think we know this book says with that particular experience. And somehow it's not matching up. Somehow it's not making sense. The objective of fellowship is that we belong together and that we encourage one another and that we help one another through those times, that we don't have to be lone rangers. Max Lucado, in his book, Imagine Your Life Without Fear, says this, and he's talking about, as he's writing this, he's talking about people who ask questions but who try to answer it all by themselves without getting anybody else involved. Excuse me. He says this, questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave where we hide with these questions has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubt through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks. So one of the pieces of bad news that I have for you, all your previous pastors, your present pastor, and your future pastors, none of us have all the answers. We don't. Because we're human. And I have yet to meet a pastor that God has gifted with 100% discernment and wisdom on every topic in every situation. It's just not there. That's why we need the body. That's why we have a transition team that works with the transition pastor, so that as we go through these surveys and we talk about things, the understanding that we have, the things that the Spirit is saying to us, all come together and we gather that knowledge together. Acts chapter 15 is one of those great examples of that, the Council of Jerusalem. When the problem came where some of the Jewish believers wanted everyone who become a believer, the Gentile believers, to become circumcised to line up with the laws in the Old Testament, Paul didn't make the decision. Peter didn't make the decision. Not even the apostles made the decision. It was made at a council of people. And the interesting thing is it doesn't even tell us who all of those people were. So were there 25 people on the council? Were there a couple of hundred people there at those meetings and discussions? We don't know. We know who brought the questions. We know who some of the players were. We know that James was the one who sent out the letter on the behalf of the church at the end of the time. But it was that multitude of wisdom working together that enabled them to come up with this answer. That's one of the great things about fellowship when it's working the way it should be working, is that when we have a problem, when we have a question, we should be able to say to our brothers and sisters, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I don't understand. Here's my question. Here's what I'm upset about. Here's the wonderful, joyful piece. That's what's going on. It is something that we can all do together. And so that objective of fellowship is that we belong, not just believe. Now, one of the things that we know that's happening right now is that there is a team over in Fiji. Mike and Sabrina and Lorraine, who are over there working on our behalf. And part of why they're doing what they're doing is because they belong to a fellowship who is supporting them. And one of the things that encourages us is when we hear what's going on. So Denise, where's Denise? If you would come up right now and just tell us a little bit about what happened, even on the morning when they left, and give us a little bit of an update there. So, okay. Thanks, Denise. Let's just take a minute and pray for this team and ask God's blessing on them. So if one or two of you just want to stand where you are and pray, and then I'll close. Father, we are so grateful that your care and concern is for all parts of our lives, and that when we are obedient to you, Lord, we see some amazing things happen. Lord, when we read stories about signs and wonders, sometimes we think, why not today? And yet in many places in the world, we are seeing what we would consider signs and wonders. But Lord, when we really stop and think about it, what should have cost $175 to $200 went through free in our day and age. That is a wonder. And so, Lord, we just say thank you for that. We don't take it for granted. And so, Lord, as we just continue to commit this team into your hands, asking that your kingdom would grow as they do ministry together with the fellowship of believers that we have there. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing that we need to remember when we're talking about fellowship is that we have many joys and sorrows that we can celebrate. And so the new little girl, the baby that was just recently born, the second one, and the second little child in the last little while in this congregation, reasons for celebration. Helga, I was talking to her just a little bit earlier on, and her dad passed away, and the funeral was this last week, and I gave her an opportunity to speak, but she was afraid that she might not be able to get quite through speaking it out loud. And so just on her behalf, I just say thank you to all the people in the congregation who have phoned or emailed or prayed for them and just the sense that they have of being a part of the body for both Dave and Helga and the support that they have there. And that's one of the things that I encourage you to do is we're going to take more time in our services To give you an opportunity to stand and to ask for prayer for something. It's something that I wasn't sure where you were before, and it wasn't sort of on the schedule, and so I didn't do it right away. But when we did some time to use that, to do that last week, I had so many positive responses from people. And so we're going to be building that into our services. And so when God is working, please be prepared to do that. But not just the prayer requests, also some of the neat stories about what God is doing. One of the things that we saw in the survey is that there are many, many, many people in this congregation who on a regular basis are sharing faith. My guess is most of you don't know how much other people are doing that. One of the things as Canadians that's a little bit of a problem sometimes is that we have this idea is that we should never talk about anything that makes it, that puts ourselves maybe in a good light. So to say, well, I shared my faith, kind of seems for some people like a little bit proud or a little bit whatever. Folks, I'm going to encourage you just to get over it. And if you've had the opportunity to share with someone, whether it's gone well or not, share that with us on Sunday morning, and then let us pray with you for that, for the next opportunity, for the next walk in that person's life. Because that's part of what fellowship is there, that we are there to support one another in that. And so to be able to say, hey, I had this opportunity as I spoke with my neighbor, as I spoke with my coworker, as I spoke with a lady at the grocery store, as I spoke with, and it could be whoever. Or it's the fact that I've been really trying to get to know somebody, and I just haven't been able to break a crack, but this last week, this happened, and so I was able to help them do this or spend time with them doing this, and I just feel like God is opening a door, and I need more prayer for the next step in that. I'm going to encourage you to do that, and because when we do that, it opens the door for further conversation. How many times, I know that I've seen in a number of times in a number of situations in churches where we've done this in the past, when you say that for everyone then to pray together for you, then in the foyer afterwards, in the parking lot afterwards, conversations take place about that and at that level. Instead of talking about the weather, which we're just also excited about the extra snow that we've gotten, or the fact that it's going to get warmer next week, yay, we're talking about building this relationship with our neighbor and getting people to pray for that and having conversations that now come, that take us into a deeper level. And so that really is the objective of fellowship. We're called to belong, not just believe. So what are the benefits? What happens when we do that? Well, there's a basic human need that gets met. Despite the fact that Frank Sinatra sang a really popular song that made him a lot of money that talked about how he was an island and he didn't need anybody, it was totally untrue about how we live and operate as human beings. It's totally untrue. We are not designed to live alone. For some people, some people come from amazing families as far as their family dynamic and connections are concerned. And for those of you who are part of families like that, that's awesome. You are very, very blessed. But we live in a day and age where families are spread apart much more than what they used to be. One of our, I wouldn't call it a sorrow, but one of the things that we wished sometimes was different was just the fact that in ministry, we moved around from place to place, and what happens when you do that, whether it's ministry or any other kind of job, it usually means your children wind up being scattered. or you can grow up, you can raise your family in one place, and children can still be scattered. And so we don't have that same kind of instant closeness. We're very grateful that we live in a day and age where we do, where we have things like email and Skype and stuff like that to be able to keep in better connection that people didn't have years ago. I remember my mom when most of her family moved out to Ontario, and they would call each other twice a year because it was expensive to phone. They would write letters, but they would call twice a year. Now we can take our phone and we can hit Skype and we can talk to somebody face-to-face almost any time we want. And so we're very fortunate that way. But as human beings, we need people to share life with. And that's what the fellowship of the church is to be about. And it's not just about Sunday mornings or when we have a need, but it's about encouraging and building one another up. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Who has that? Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Thanks, Lonnie. Thank you. See, one of the benefits of fellowship is we should be in a place where we can mess up and we're still loved. Fellowship is not about being perfect and making sure everyone else thinks we're perfect, but it's a place where we can mess up and still be loved, where we can have a conversation with someone that either needs to be confrontative, where we can come to someone and say, I see a problem in your life, and deal with that. Or it can be a situation where we can see how we've hurt and offended someone, and we can go and we can ask for forgiveness from that individual and build that relationship back up. See, that's what fellowship is all about. It's a place of supporting one another no matter what happens. No matter what happens. It's powerful. The benefit of fellowship, here's a sentence that helps us understand a little bit about it. It's a deep, joyful sharing that replaces the polite prattle typically exchanged by Christians on Sunday morning. A deep, joyful sharing that replaces the polite prattle typically exchanged by Christians on Sunday morning. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about the weather or talking about what's happened at work. But if it never goes any deeper than that, we've missed the opportunity that God has given us to live in a place where our lives are built and encouraged. If we never ask for help, if we never share things that have gone wrong, if we never share what God has done for us in a particular way. Thank you. If we never share what is good that's going on in our life that God is blessing us with, then we're not giving and receiving that encouragement that the fellowship is designed for. And so that's the benefit of that fellowship, is to be able to grow and to live genuinely with all the joys and sorrows. If you go through the one another's in Scripture, it's interesting that the one another's, what we're to do and be and act towards one another, deal with both the hard things and the easy things, the things that we want to throw a party for and the things that we want to sit in the corner and weep over. The one another's include both of those and everything in between. It's life together on all planes. Koinonia fellowship. Paul's, as we mentioned at the beginning, Paul's favorite word to describe a believer's relationship with the risen Lord and the benefits of salvation which come through him. And it ties us together as believers. We want to remember that we have fellowship on the basis of faith in the Son, Jesus Christ. We share fellowship in the gospel. We share fellowship together with the Holy Spirit. And Paul understands that this fellowship is what holds us together in a bond of unity. See, Satan's favorite tactic has been right from day one, right from the Garden of Eden, is to try and divide and conquer God's people. We see it in the Garden of Eden. We see it in Israel over and over again. We see it in the early church over and over again. I mean, we see that it almost worked with Paul and Barnabas, where they had a disagreement over John Mark and went their separate ways. So we're not talking about something that is uncommon, but it's very common. It's something that we're all going to face, some place where we're going to be at a situation where we disagree with someone in the church over something. And yet, fellowship is about maintaining unity through that. It's one of the things that I love about being part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, is we talk about having a wide tent. And so you can be a premillennialist, believe in premillennialism or amillennialism, and still be a member or a pastor of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Now, there are some basics like the virgin birth, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way to forgive sins. There are some basics that are in our statement of faith that we're all called to agree on. But outside of that, there are lots of room. There's lots of room for different opinions and for us to work together in the church effectively to grow the kingdom, to encourage one another without having to agree on every single little thing. Our fellowship is to be based on our relationship with Jesus Christ, loving Him, knowing Him, and living life on purpose for Him. Fellowship is an important purpose of the church. It's one of the things that attract other people to it. If the world doesn't see a church that is one heart and one purpose, they don't take us very seriously. And we see that in the day and age in which we live. So my challenge for each of us is, how are we doing in building the fellowship in our church? Are we taking time to be involved in other people's lives, to invite them into our life or to invite ourselves into their lives, to spend some time together outside of the time between 9:30 and 11:30 on Sunday morning, to be part of a small group, to get together with someone for a coffee or lunch and ask the question, how are you? And actually want a different answer than the word fine. To let people know that we're there to hear how they really are and what's really going on. Or if we're in that position where we really need someone to talk to call someone, to build a relationship with someone where we can share that struggle, where we can celebrate that joy together. that is the purpose of fellowship. And when that happens, it becomes much, much easier to build common goals and common purposes together, because we're focused on that underlying basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ and being willing to love each other as He loved us. That is the fellowship that we are called to. So very simply, what are you doing to build the fellowship of Muir Lake Community Alliance Church? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, one of the things we didn't talk about this morning is the fellowship in the Trinity and the perfect unity that's there. And Lord, how you've modeled even that aspect of unity and fellowship within yourself for us. And Lord, how you set the example in your earthly ministry of loving well, of loving the disciples and walking in unity and fellowship and encouragement with them through all the dumb things that they did, the dumb things that they said. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the courage to make ourselves vulnerable and to give us the courage to allow someone else to speak either joy or difficulty, and then to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So may we indeed be men and women that are continuing to build on the relationship that obviously is here, to build that even greater, so that when someone comes in, one of the first things they note is how these people love one another. And Lord, for the good things that happen as we grow in fellowship together based on your mercy and your grace, we'll give you the glory for the good things that happen. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.